Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leona Brando, and I am with New Vision Organization. We are going to be discussing today networking for justice in an unjust country. We have a special guest on this afternoon, Nathaniel Harrison. He used to be a reporter with the Lowell Sun, and he's traveled the world, and he is on with us today. He is with the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition, and we are going to be introducing him. We're going to be discussing, looking at various issues in the United States with mass incarceration. And the United States has the highest rates of incarceration, according to the Washington Post, 724 people per 100,000. And it's really sad that the country, once so well respected for being the only country named the United States for the diversity and representation of people from every country in the world, is now considered to be the Babylon of the world due to its current growth of violence, harsh sentencing, national deception, and corruption. So we have a country, a nation called that is united. At least they say it is, yet every state in America has the same ongoing and growing problems, although they operate differently. So we have Nathaniel Harrison on the radio with us today, and he's going to be discussing a little bit about himself and then what the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition does, what their goals and their mission statement is. So, Nat, if you're on the line with us, would you like to speak a little bit about yourself and then maybe go into what the coalition does do? We will have Nathaniel on with us now.
Yes, thanks, Leona. I'd be glad to do that. I became interested or engaged in prison issues back in the early 70s, just after the uprising at Attica Prison in New York. And as a result of that, 1972 and 1973, there was much greater public awareness of conditions in prison. And I joined a citizens group that formed in Concord, Massachusetts. I'm speaking to you from Massachusetts, from just outside Boston. And through this group, we connected with men serving sentences at MCI Concord. And we would meet once a week for discussion, for projects. At the time, I was a newspaper reporter for the Lowell, Massachusetts Sun, and I helped the men inside with their monthly newsletter. But it was through this encounter that I met a man who was 22 years old, and he was on trial for first-degree murder. He was subsequently convicted and sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. And he is still there, and I maintained my connection with him over the years. Most of my career was outside of the United States, but we kept in touch through letters, and every summer when I came home for vacation, I would visit him. He is still there today. In the Department of Correction System here in Massachusetts. He's now 68 years old. And it was because of his experience. He's still maintaining his innocence. He's still fighting for a new trial. But it was because of my connection with him that I became interested in the life or the campaign to abolish what we call LWOP, life without parole, or life without the possibility of parole, and that is what I am doing now. I live full-time here in the United States, just outside of Boston, and I am part of a group called the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition, which for the last 22 years has been agitating for criminal justice reform in a variety of areas, certainly bail reform, the treatment of sex offenders, parole, and sentencing. And my particular interest is life without parole, and I should say abolishing life without parole. I'll stop there for the moment, Leona.
I'm really interested in that, and you have quite a history. I'll tell you, Nat, from what I've read about you, you've been all over the world. You've had so many experiences, and you have so much wisdom in a lot of the things that are going on, especially with the mass incarceration and life without parole. I believe that, and this is my passion as well, to see this life without parole abolished, because there's so many people in prison who have gone into prison before the age of 25, committed their crimes, and have already served 20 years or more. And it's very important to look at these issues. And the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition has been around for a long time. And I know I founded New Vision Organization in 2004, so we worked with quite a few prisoners nationwide. But my goal right now is focused on Massachusetts and the lifers that are that have no hope. They've given up, and a lot of them, they deserve a second chance. So what you're talking about is really interesting to me, and I feel honored to have you on with us to talk a little bit about these things and your views on it. What is the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition? What is the website? Can you just give a little information on how people can connect with the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition?
Yes, I think the easiest way, I don't have the actual site, the address, but I think if one simply Googled CJPC or Criminal Justice Policy Coalition, you would land on the site. And if one of your listeners go there, they will be able to read about our activities, that is the activities of this specialized subcommittee that is working on abolishing life without parole in Massachusetts. And we want to do it through the legislature. And so what we would like to see legislation, I hope in the next session of the state legislature, which begins in January 2018, well, that may be premature, but we would like to see legislation that abolishes life without parole and replaces that with language that would mandate parole review. Now, we aren't talking about actual parole release necessarily, but at least a review after 25 years of incarceration. And we are working very, very closely with a group at MCI Norfolk, which is another prison in Massachusetts in the southeastern section of Massachusetts, where there is a lifers group that has a membership of maybe 100 people. And they are very active in this movement. They have supported us. And I just one correction, Leona, to what you said. These men have not given up hope. I am amazed when I meet some of these men who've been in prison for 40, 50 years and don't face any realistic chance of getting out. But they have not given up hope. Their lives are still quite rich.
Well, you know,
some of them flourish.
Yeah, because
they write books, they get degrees, you know, they are very active in supporting our legislation. Maybe not for them, it may not happen in their lifetime, but they are thinking about the future. So, you know, they may not have a lot of hope for getting out, fair enough, but they have not simply just thrown in the towel and done nothing in prison. And that's what's quite inspiring.
With Norfolk prison, maybe not, but there is an awful high suicide rate in the prisons. Many have given up, and it's sad because they have the life. And you know, Elizabeth Warren just spoke recently on television, and I encourage everyone to support her, to let her know because she has stated that the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition and as a whole is it's failed. It's a failed system. And the mass incarcerations, by the way, Criminal Justice Policy Coalition, if anyone wants to contact them and support them and what their efforts as well, it's HTTPS and it's www.cjpc.org. The Criminal Justice Policy Coalition is in Boston on 549 Columbus Ave, and their phone number is 617-807-0111. And I encourage people to contact the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition as well, and Nathaniel has been an awesome advocate in working with the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition. So if anyone wants to support them, give them a call, go to their website, check them out. And also, as I say with Elizabeth Warren, this is a politician who has strength in leadership. She is not afraid to speak out about the issues with the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition, as many politicians are. They're actually afraid to be a strong leader, to take the lead, because they're afraid of losing constituents, when in fact they would gain more by showing strength in their decisions to look at these issues of mass incarceration and lifers without parole, because these people have served their time. And the discussions lately have been on the youth and prevention. But at the same time, we have to look at those who have already served an awful harsh sentence for a crime that they committed, whether it be first time, and especially first time, or whether it be those who have been serving a life of, as Nat said, 25 years or more. But these are issues that really need to be talked about. And Nat, you mentioned the legislature. You are working with legislature on these issues currently?
Yes, we are, and I wish I could report that we have found a legislator who will put his or her name to this bill. We aren't there yet. We have some possibilities, and we are continuing to encourage them. But essentially, we've been told, and I think this is true, the sentiment in the state legislature in Massachusetts is probably not on our side right now. We understand that, but the idea is to get the conversation going, to convince people to see, as Pope Francis has said, that the life without parole is in effect a death sentence. It just takes longer to come to fruition, if you will. But we have found several prominent legislators in both the House and Senate who agree with what we're doing, who support it, but we have not found someone yet who's prepared to put forward a bill at this time, because the prospects are not really that good for this year. This is a long-term effort, and we want to get the discussion going, and that would then give us a chance. It would focus the argument. If we had a piece of legislation that was in the legislature, it would focus discussion. People would have to respond to it, oppose it, support it, discuss it, debate it. It would get it into the public domain, and that's what we want to do.
You know, it's sad because I believe sometimes we're working on trying to abolish life and life without, and the ongoing crime in the communities today. And again, it's usually the young people, but also there are adults that are doing it. And what happens is prisoners are all stereotyped, and this really upsets me, because each individual is different and each situation is different, but yet with the crime rate out there in the communities, people look at they're actually afraid to make a decision to release people. But what they don't realize is these people have been in again for 20 years and more. They committed their offenses under the age of 25, and 25 years is a long time. These prisoners have time to think. They have aged. They have medical problems. They have, like you say, a lot of them are actually doing positive things while incarcerated. And unfortunately, a lot of them are prevented from doing positive things because the DOC doesn't want success. They want to keep these prisons full because they're making money on these prisoners, although the taxpayers are paying a fortune for each cell that's filled. But again, it's almost like we have to let the community members know that even though crime may be out there escalating, what they need to do is, instead of prisons, they need to take these lifers who are in for addictions or crimes that were committed while under the influence, or they have to take these prisoners who are in for mental illnesses, psychological issues that were going on in their minds at the time of their crime, and they need to open more long-term residential facilities. Prisons are not working. prisoners are committing suicide, or they're being provoked or harassed, or you know, the civil rights violations are increasing and nothing's being done about it. But the way I look at it, they need to start looking at improving these facilities out in the communities. They need to have oversight on these. They have to have oversight on the prison, on the Department of Corrections. And at the same time, I think that they need to improve these facilities that are in the communities, and either improve them or create new ones that are long-term. And I don't mean 6 months to a year, because it took these people a long time to get where they were to end up failing. So they need to have these long-term facilities, maybe 5 or 10 years instead of life, to have all these facilities open with a lot of resources within the facilities. And again, prisons are not working. Life is, they have served a long time right now, and I think they deserve a second chance as with anyone.
Yes, that's, Leona, that's exactly the sort of the, if you will, the moral basis of our campaign, is that everyone deserves a second chance, and that it's impossible to know what a man or a woman is going to be like 25 years. Someone who's sentenced at the age of 22 or 23 for life. I mean, you're making it life without parole. The court is making the system, actually, because these are mandatory sentences in Massachusetts, is making a determination that this person will never change, that he will never redeem himself, that he will never take any steps toward rehabilitation. And I don't think that's a kind of prophecy that any mortal man or mortal woman has. It's impossible to know. I mean, we aren't advocating that everyone get out. We're saying that everyone gets a chance to show that he or she has taken positive steps and can be a positive force in the community. But it's the idea of a second chance, which I think is, it's not alien to the whole American story. I mean, people left Europe and other places to come here for a second chance, a new start, a fresh start. And we would just like to see that applied to people serving LWOP.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's just sad that these things happen. And I'll tell you, I remember when I was younger, there was a he was from, I believe it was New Bedford, but he ended up going to prison for a fatal offense. And back then, they didn't have life. They had, I think it was 25 years or whatever. And the person got out, and they lived a normal life. And there's so many out there, I'm sure, that have, in past years, before they came out with this life without parole, because that wasn't always the case in the United States. But it's gotten to the point where, again, life without parole and life is like the second death penalty. And then there's many prisoners, I'm sure, that would prefer to take the life, the death penalty over life without. But these are the issues that we need to really focus on and try to get others involved in. And there are others throughout the country who are also trying to do away with life without, you know, and
some places. Yes, that's right.
And they're making, like in California and in Pennsylvania, there's actually a lot being done about these issues out there, from what I understand. And so the United States it's inconsistent, it's dysfunctional, and they need to come together and make some new policies, legislation. And if there's any way that people out in the communities, people that are listening to this show, you know, if anyone is interested in working with us to try to make a positive change in abolishing life and life without parole, please do contact Criminal Justice Policy Coalition. Please do support them in their efforts. Please do contact Elizabeth Warren, because she sees these things occurring. She sees where the system has failed, and this is the time to try to get more involved with her and try to get her more involved with our cause. These are the things that we really, really want to see happen, and it can happen with people who are interested in making these changes, whether out in the community. Networking is very important. We know that there is the Emancipated Initiative, who is also working on life issues, the abolishment of life and life without parole. People can connect with the Emancipated Initiative. They're on Facebook, as well as the Criminal Justice Policy Coalition and others. There's others out there. And again, New Vision Organization, which is now going on in Massachusetts, anyone can contact me at 508-533-7735. My email address is nvopres@verizon.net. And we do have a website you can go on to, and I'll get that out on Facebook so that everyone can see that as well. But networking for justice in an unjust country is what needs to be taken effect right now, and we need to start working on these issues. There's so much crime going on. There's no need for it if there's facilities that are out there to replace prisons, and we need to focus on replacing the prisons for lifers and life without. We need to work on getting changes in the system so that these people can have a chance at rehabilitating themselves, getting the services that they need, and not having people in the system that are overseeing them prevent them from becoming more productive, and not having them holding back on trying to see these people rehabilitated and released. Now, I was going to say, and even when you were abroad, you did a lot of advocacy work and connecting with prisoners as well, right?
Yes, I spent many years in France, and I visited men in prison in France, and I visited four or five prisons in France. And the difference in France is that it is denying a person who's been convicted and sentenced to life. There are life sentences in France, but to deny that person a hearing after so many years is unconstitutional. So that, and this is the norm throughout Western Europe. The United States is the odd man out with regard to prison sentencing. And all of most sort of Western industrial democracies in Europe, everyone gets a hearing, and certainly that's true in France. And these countries don't have soaring crime rates. I mean, they seem to do pretty well. I mean, I always say a country like France has no death and really no life in prison. They have no death penalty, and they have no life without parole. And it's a country that functions perfectly well. I suspect the crime rate is substantially lower than it is here in the United States. So it can be done. It's not necessary to keep people locked up for these lengths of time. And I think the research has shown that when older people leave prison, they age out of crime after a certain period. And they're very homicide. People who've committed homicide and have gotten out, that is, for example, a second degree, someone who's has been convicted of second degree murder and is eligible for parole after 15 years. In Massachusetts, very few people get parole, but those who do get out, who have committed a homicide at some point, are among the least likely to recidivate, that is, to come back to prison.
Yeah.
And so there's a financial argument. It's exceedingly expensive to maintain elderly prisoners. It's unnecessary. I mean, there's another way of attacking this from the financial perspective. But I think our strongest argument is just the immorality of denying someone a chance at redemption.
Yes.
It's just alien. I think, to the best. It's alien to the values we want in our state and our country.
I don't know. I notice Germany. Germany does not have life in life without parole. And I watched a documentary on Germany. They actually, the prisoners, they have like cabins. They live in cabins. There's treatment out there. They're allowed to live like human beings while serving their sentences.
Yes, but allowed to live like human beings. I think that's a good way to put it, Leona. I think.
Yes.
Just if you want to prepare them for life on the outside, they have to start living as human beings and not as caged people.
Exactly.
I couldn't agree more with that.
And the life without parole is almost like, it's almost like if you take a dog and you cage a dog in a pen, and that dog doesn't get out, that dog becomes more aggressive. And this is what's happening in these prisons. They're becoming more frustrated because everything that they try to do. And I'm sure that not all prisoners are the same. Again, as I said, there's so many different types, reasons for prisoners being inside. They're stereotyped. You know, there's prisoners who have so many different reasons why they're inside. So many have had breakdowns, so many addicted. And to me, addiction is a way of covering up pain. It's a way of covering up pain because a lot of these prisoners have had terrible childhoods or something has happened in their life to make them fall. And a lot of them turn to drinking. A lot of them turn to drugs. Some of them turn to weightlifting and physical exercises like that. But if there's a moment of depression, you don't have the motivation, the ambition to function properly. And this is what's happening with a lot of prisoners. They don't have that. And then when they go into the prisons, they have to act tough because they have to feel like they're keeping up with those others. They can't show signs of weakness, nor can they show signs of emotion. And this is pretty sad. But I really believe they need a second chance. And what's happening in this society today is everyone has turned a blind eye to what's going on in the prisons and the things that are happening. And that's why it's so important to network.
Yes. You know, Leona, just before we sign off, I just would like to put forward just a few statistics. Nationally, according to the Sentencing Project, which is a research and activist group in Washington, there are about 53,000 Americans serving life without parole, and that's apparently today. And that's apparently four times the number that were serving life without parole in 1992. So as we see with the Tough on Crime movement, it has produced more than 50,000 people serving the sentence. In Massachusetts, roughly 10%, slightly over 1,000 men and women, 10% of the state prison population, that is roughly 1,000 men and women, are serving life without parole. Massachusetts is one of only four states where 10% or more of the state population is serving an LWOP sentence. The Sentencing Project has estimated that nationally about half of the people serving life without parole nationally are African American. What else do we have? Our point is that
what percentage is that?
About half, roughly 50, half are African American.
In Massachusetts?
No. In
nationwide.
Nationwide. In Massachusetts, interesting. I'll bring this up, Leona. In Massachusetts, the Sentencing Project has combined life with parole, people serving life without parole. That is, life with parole is for second degree murder convictions. Life without parole is for first degree murder convictions. And then what we call virtual life. That is, people who are serving a combination of sentences that comes out to more than 50 years. Anyway, if you put all those three categories of life sentences together, there are about 33% are African American in Massachusetts. So roughly a third of the people serving one form or another of life sentences is African American. 20% are Hispanic, 44% are white. So there's a racial dimension to this as well, just as there was in the death penalty.
Well, Nat, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this with us, and we'd like to have you come on again another time for an update.
Okay.
We would like that.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much for being on, and this has really been a pleasure and an honor.
Okay. We'll be in touch. Thanks, Leona. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are signing off now. And we hope that you will be on our next episode with us, and we will be having another guest on that you will be very impressed with. But we'd like to have Nat Harrison back with us again. He has been an advocate for some time. We'd like to have him back. So thank you all for listening, and we will sign off now with hopefully bringing more to you next Thursday. Thank you so much.